Slide 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's pray, and let's just give this time to God. So, Father, we do just praise you and thank you that we can have fun in Christ, that it's not legalism, it's not works, but it's love and it's relationships. It's not religion, but it's us with a relationship with the person of Christ. Hallelujah, Father. Praise you and thank you. And Father, we just pray now for this message. We just commit these words into your hands, that you are such a great God. And we, Lord, we are mere men. We are vessels, and you use us. We just marvel at that, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Bless this word today, this portion. In Christ's name, amen. So this first slide is 1 Corinthians 12:27, and I'm going to use this verse a lot in the message today. This is going to be like the main point, the main idea, the main theme, and I'm going to use it in three different translations. So the first one on the screen, fairly simple, right? Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That's 1 Corinthians 12:27. The New King James says it like this. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Or the King James, another translation. King James is one of my favorite, but sometimes it's a little too old school, a little hard to read. But it says, now you are the body and you are members in particular. I just love that thought, that every one of us, every one of you, every one of us, we are members in particular in the body of Christ. That's such an awesome theme. That's such an awesome thought. If you can grab a hold of that one point today and you can run with that one point, that you are important, that God has a plan for you. He has a place for you, whether it's here, Greater Grace Malta, or wherever it may be. God has a plan for your life in the body of Christ. Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God's plan is that we gather together, that we worship him, that we hear the word of God, and we give him the glory, we give him the honor. And he says, you are a member in particular. I have a plan for you. You are important. You are an important part of the body of Christ. If I was to title the message very simply, I would stick with those three words in the King James, and I would say members in particular, because that's it. That's the key for us to grasp today in the message, is that you are a member in particular, that you are an important part of the body of Christ. We think of all the different ministries in the church, and each one has such an important role in the entirety of us all. The Greek word for member is melos, M-E-L-O-S, and specifically it's speaking of a member or a limb, talking about the human body. So we could kind of put it in context, like yesterday we had a work day, right? And Gil shows up and he's in there and he's on a ladder and he's changing some light bulbs. And my wife, she's in Sunday school nursery. If you go by, look on the wall, she painted Veggie Tales. And I was running around cleaning. Some of my kids were in the Sunday school rooms just chuck everything that you can possibly chuck, right? You know, clean out. And like there was every person, we were here. We were part of the church. We were all doing something. We were members. You are an important part of the body of Christ. And I wanted to make this one point really quickly up front. We all have a past, right? We all have things we look back and we're like, oh, man, I wish I never said that. Oh, man, I wish I never did that. We have a past. We have some regrets. But we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't let the past control our future. We have to be careful that we don't let our identity be in our failures or our identity be in our shortcomings. But what we really want is we want our identity to be who we are in Christ. We want our identity to be Christ now lives inside of me by the Holy Spirit. And I am now a member in particular in the body of Christ. Yes, I've made some mistakes, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to run forward. Philippians 3 and 4, rebound, forgetting the things that are behind and running forward, pressing towards the high mark, the high calling. That's what God has for us. We all have a past, but forget it. Leave it behind. Look forward and say, okay, God, what do you have for me today here in the body of Christ? Because I am a member in particular. And God says that to each one of us. You are a member in this body of Christ, a member in particular. I was thinking about the thought that we need each other. I need Pastor Chris to come say, hey, Pastor Scott, what do you think of this? And I need Sarah to come say, you need to fix that. If you know Sarah, you need to fix that. That's what, right? We need each other. Someone here needs you. And you need someone here. We need each other. Every one of us, we need each other. There's people outside of the doors of this church. And you know what? They need us. They need us. So I want to think about this message, and I want to think about this verse today, members in particular. I want to think about it in two different ways. One, I want to think about it a little bit outside of the church. And then two, I want to think about it inside of the church a little bit. The next slide, please, is the Casting Crowns song. Who knows this song? We listen to Christian music. I was so jealous. They came to Glens Falls, I don't know, some months ago, and like all of my friends went, and I wanted to go, and I didn't go, and then I came to church, and they're all like, oh, that concert was so awesome. I was like, oh, I missed it. Oh, man. But they have this great song. I listened to it last night, and I woke up this morning, 5 a.m., turned it down as low as I can so I don't wake up my kids, and I'm listening to this song. And the song can be a little convicting at times, but he's really making this really interesting point, right? So I'm going to just read you the song, and this is just one stanza of the entirety. If we are the body by Casting Crowns, here are the lyrics. It's crowded in worship today, and she slips in trying to fade into the faces. The girls' teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. You can kind of think of that, and I think a teen ministry sometimes, and a first-time visitor might come in, and they're all kind of goofing, but the first-time visitor may feel out of place. And he's saying, make them feel part of the body of Christ. Make them feel the moment they come in the door like they are loved, that they belong here, that they are a member in particular. Make them feel like part of it. This is what the song is going. And he goes on. Now, if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way, there is a way, there is a way? And then he tells another story in the song. A traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. Lord, let us never be a church like that, where somebody comes and visits, and when they come and visit, they feel like everybody is judging them versus the love of Christ and the body. This is the song, right? He's speaking to the heart of the church. There are many churches out there where these things may happen. Lord, let us never be one of those churches. Lord, help us. And he goes on. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them that there is a way? And then he kind of explains it and wraps it up in the song. Jesus paid too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. If we are the body of Christ, but if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them that there is a way? And then he says, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his body. Jesus is the way. What a great song to really break down and to think about. He's just sharing to us that Jesus, ultimately, amidst all of these things that can happen or take place inside of a church or a teen ministry or wherever you want to set the scenario, set the stage, that ultimately we are the members, we are the body, and we just need to love people. We need to encourage people. We need to encourage each other. We don't know what happened to somebody last night. They could have had a blowout with grandma, and they could come in here, and they're totally hurting and broken. And instead of somebody judging them, what they really need is just a great big squeeze. And it's like you squeeze them, and they get a release. Because the love of God overcomes, overwhelms. It takes over all of people's past and failures. The love of God can change a person forever. And we are the members. We are the members. So I was thinking of making this practical for our lives, right? When we were on 43 around Lake Road, Pastor Chris Halloran and I, we used to take the teens to Saratoga. It was like almost every other Saturday. Some months, it was probably like every Saturday. Our teen ministry was crazy. It was 45 kids to spring rallies, and it was pretty intense. Right now, our teens are lull, and our youths and young adults are kind of starting to come together. We just have a little lull in teens. But we used to go to Saratoga all the time. And, you know, we'd go to Saratoga, and we'd plan something fun. All right, let's go to the park, and let's play Ultimate Frisbee. And we'd go to the park, and we'd play Ultimate Frisbee, but we'd look around, you know, find some teenagers and college kids that weren't necessarily churched. Hey, why don't you come play with us? We did this with the young adults a few weeks ago. And then we'd go get pizza, and then we would take our church tracks, which if you don't have any tracks, tell me. I can give you some. We just got another box, and they're always usually by the door. Except for when they're not. They're out. Somebody takes them, that's a good thing, right? So, you know, you're in Saratoga, you're on the streets. Let's make it practical. And you're playing some Frisbee or something, and then you see teenagers, and they're sitting over in the pavilion in Saratoga Park, Congress Park, in the middle of that park. Little side note, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that to lay his life down for his friends. It doesn't say it's John 15:15, but it's in the ground in Congress Park. What an awesome thought. So you're in Saratoga, you're playing Frisbee, and there's some teens, and they're over there, or young adults, and they're goofing around in the pavilion. College kids, Saratoga, a lot of college stuff. And God puts it on your heart, right? Hey, go over and talk to them. Hey, go over and invite them to play Frisbee, right? That's the practical side, and you're like, kind of like your natural man is like, no way am I going to go over and talk to some stranger in the park. And your spiritual man, God's like tugging at your heart. Come on, go talk to him. Right? And you're like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? But God says, you are a member in particular. You are the body of Christ. Right there at that moment, you are the light shining into the darkness of somebody else's life. You are Christ to them. You are that vessel that the Holy Spirit uses to speak truth into their lives. And then you go over and you start talking to them. Hey, do you guys want to play some Frisbee? And, oh, yeah, we love Frisbee. And they come and they play Frisbee. And then, oh, halftime. Oh, halftime. You know what we do at halftime? 15-minute message. Hey, all of a sudden, they're in a circle. They're with your teenagers, your young adults, your college kids, and you give a 15-minute message. Very simple. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The world, that's you, that's me, that's every one of us. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. And then you tell a funny story. Ask Sarah Dobbs the white carpet story. She heard it probably a million times by now. or more. Ask her. Talk to her. She'll be like, That's why I say that, because I want you to talk to her. I pick on her more probably than anybody, but she's as old basically as I've been in the church. So kind of, sort of, when I came in the church, I've more or less known her whole life, but not totally when she was little. But so she came through our youth program under the DiMatteos and through our teen ministry under Pastor Chris and I. And to our young adults, she went to Bible college for a year, and she came back, and she helps us out huge in the church, paperwork and so much stuff. But back to the context, right? So then I'll ask simple questions like, have you ever heard this? We're at the park, we played Frisbee, we did a message, and we were talking to teens. Have you ever heard this before? And in the context, sometimes they'll be like, oh, I go to the school up on the hill, and it could be a Christian school, a Catholic school, a Methodist school, whatever it will be. Let's just say a religious school of some sort. And kids used to answer me, and they would say, no, I've never heard that before. And my heart would break inside of me that these kids are going to some type of Christian religious school, and you could preach the most basic, simple message of the love of Christ and the love of Christ breaking bondage and forgiveness of sins and two-sided coins. Ask Sarah that message and white carpets. And they will say they've never heard the basic gospel. You know what? We are the body of Christ. We are the light those young people need in that park. We are the light Diamond Hill Nursing Home needs when they walk in the door. Let's do the same thing we did last year, Ron, Michelle, everybody, that whole thing with Christmas and, it was amazing. My kids still talk about it. Amazing, amazing. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to bring in a little balance, and then I want to read a little poem, and then we're going to switch. If you are a Bible follower, I'm going to go to Ephesians for a moment. Because we have to make sure we always have a fine balance in context. Sometimes people will take one scripture in the Bible and they'll take it so far out of the context that God originally has it for. And then people will be like, oh, is that what it means? And we'll be like, actually, no, that's not what it means. So let's bring in a little balance. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 4, and I'm going to go to verse 10, and I'm reading the New King James Version. And I just want to make this one point. We don't live a life by works. We live a life by God's grace and through faith in Him. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And then we respond to the love of God, and that's our life. Salvation is not a work. Salvation is not a religion. Salvation is by grace through faith. Let's read it for ourselves. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. And I always love the first two words here. But God. You know, if you see those two words, something awesome is about to follow. If you're reading the scripture and you see the two words, but God, stop. Think about it. Read it 5 times over, 7 times over, and say, okay, God, but God what? And answer that question. But God, Ephesians 2, 4, New King James, who is rich in mercy, because his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, while we were failures, while we had mistakes, while we fell short, while we were dead in trespasses, he loved us. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, grab this verse. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith, not of yourselves, it's not a work, it's not something we can do, it's something Christ has already done. not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, or his masterpiece. The Greek word poema. You are God's poem. He looks at you and says, look at this beautiful poem that I have written about Mr. Stone's life. This is his life. You are his workmanship. He has a plan. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, let's talk quick. If you're a greater gracer, you've probably heard this before. If you're rather new, you may not have heard these words. But we talk about sometimes experiential truth, and then we talk about positional truth, right? Experiential truth is here we are. We live in our natural man. We have flesh and blood. We stumble. We trip. We fall, right? But Philippians 3 and 4, we get back up, and we keep walking with God. Positional truth is the Holy Spirit. The moment I said, yes, Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins, come into me and live. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us and live. And now these verses really come into play. I am God's perfect workmanship. In the eyes of God, he says, you are covered with the blood of Christ. Your sins are washed away. You are seated with me in heavenly places. Experientially, but I'm a big failure. And Jesus says, no, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You are my child. I love you. I care for you. You are a member in particular. You have an important part in the body of Christ. But I can't do it, my flesh says. But Christ says, you can. I can do all things. Philippians 4:13, through Christ who strengthens me. Because I am an important part of the body of Christ. You are, we are members in particular. Dr. Stevens, who was one of the founders of Greater Grace, used to read this poem all the time. And years ago in my Bible college years, 20-something years ago, I had this memorized. I had to Google it, look it up, and relook it up. And Sarah's like, you're going to do that poem again? And I was like, yes, every year, five times a year, because I love it. I want to frame it. I just thought about that. I want to frame it and put it in the Sunday school office. And the poem is titled simply one word. It says others. And it was written by Charles D. Meigs somewhere between 1890 and 1902. And it reads like this. Others. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while still thinking of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. What an awesome thought, huh? It's really when we come to this place and we say, all right, Lord, it's not about me anymore. It's about those kids in that pavilion at Saratoga Park. It's about Celebrate Recovery in Mechanicville. It's about the young adults. It's about whatever it may be, wherever God calls you to be, wherever God calls you to serve, wherever God calls you to be plugged in. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Slide number 3. Now we're going to hit that kid. I forgot my laser pointer. That kid in the park, right? It says in the bottom left corner here, the lost sinner. All of a sudden, a miracle happens. A miracle happens. This young person, or older person, nursing home, whatever it may be, they say yes to Jesus Christ. If you want a copy of this, Sarah has it in her email. Bob has it in email. I have it in my email. We can email you the whole slideshow, the notes. It's all we compiled it all this morning. So the bottom left says the lost sinner. And then the lost sinner, if you follow the line, goes to the cross. And at the cross, it simply says he believes in Christ, John 3:16, Acts 16:31, and he's baptized into 1 Corinthians 12:13. That's not baptism there by submersion of water. That's baptism there in that verse of the Spirit of God, speaking specifically that the Spirit comes and lives inside of us when we say yes to Christ. And then you follow the arrow down, and it kind of creates like a snowman figure. And the bottom of the snowman figure says this: the believers are connected to each other and connected to the head, and the head being Jesus Christ. And then it shows a bunch of stick figures, and they're all connected to each other inside the larger circle. And it says the body of Christ, the church. Just above it, it says join to Christ and joined to one another. And then the top shows the head, and it says the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what happens. This young person, this person gets saved by the cross. Through faith, we're saved. Not works, not something we can do, but then they become a part of the body of Christ. And you can look at the body of Christ in many different ways. We're going to go there in just a minute, but I also like to make the point that there's unity and diversity all in the one body, right? You put me on that guitar and everybody's going to leave like, wah, right? You put Ron and Warren and Fred up here and you have an offering song like that, I'm coming back next week. I want to hear that song again, right? But then you have Marcy. She was in the kitchen. I got here, and she's in the kitchen, and she's setting up the potluck. You know what? That's amazing. My wife right now, she's in Sunday school with kids. She's actually has the same slideshow, so she could do a little presentation of what we're hearing in here and there today. And then today's, whenever there's five Sundays, we have Fun Day Sunday, so the kids, it's an off-curriculum day, so they get to play. But every one of us is being part of the body, but there's unity, but there's also diversity all in one body. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. We're not going to close here, but we're going to go back to that same chapter. We're going to read a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 12. And we can go to the next slide, Sarah, please. One body, but many members. One body, but many members. And I'm just going to read this portion. And I want you to just listen to this portion of Scripture. It's very interesting. So if you don't know, 1 Corinthians specifically was written around 56 AD. And they were having little schisms in the body, and they were having little fights within the body. And somebody wrote to Paul. You could call him like the tattletale or the whiny butt or whatever the little kids want to call him, right? They write to Paul and they're like, Paul, this is going on inside of the church. People are being mean to each other. They're not helping each other. They're not loving each other. And Paul decides in 56 AD, I'm going to write the church of Corinth a letter. And he corrects the church of Corinth. And this is what he says to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 12. Again, New King James. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, and now he gets into the very natural, bare bones basics, telling Corinth, what would happen if your body didn't like itself, right? So he says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, the guy wouldn't be able to walk correctly. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Then the guy couldn't hear. Now he can't walk, he can't hear. The body's just disunity within itself. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? So what God is saying is he has a portion right here inside of the body of Christ for you. You can, that last diagram where all the people are kind of connected. You have people who are here on building day. You have people here in the kitchen day. You have people here counting the money, people in Sunday school, all these different things. But we're all tied together and we are part of right here, right now, Greater Grace Malta. And God is using you right here, right now, in the body's life and in somebody's in the church's life. That song just was like, wow, God used that offering song in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Those words were awesome. Finish work premise all the way around. And he goes on, verse 20. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. You may feel at times, I am just the weaker member. And God says, no, I need you. I need you in the body of Christ. You may feel unneeded, and God says that is not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The devil is trying to feed you, to discourage you, to try to get you to go away, to go astray. And Jesus says, no, you are an important part of the body of Christ. I need you. I have a plan for you. There is something greater here for you. And the world will say, no, come back to the world. The devil will try to stumble you and trip you and fall. But God says, even the weakest member is so important in the body of Christ. So important. I'll pause there for a second. So I remember, like, in basic training, I was in the military. I went in 1997 to 2002, Army Guard. And I did basic training with Fort Benning, Georgia. And we, you know, you get this mentality, like, the weakest link, everybody needs to encourage him and strengthen him more. Because if he's lacking behind, your whole unit is lacking behind. And one time on a march, this one guy was having a really, really hard time. And we had packs, I don't know, 35-pound packs, 45-pound packs. And it was like a five-mile march. It was July in Fort Benning, Georgia, and it was called Sand Hill. I mean, it's like 97, it's probably more than that in the sun, degrees outside. You're in full gear, rucking. And this guy, we were getting close to the end, and he was like about to pass out. And you can just imagine, one guy comes alongside of him and kind of takes his pack, and another guy comes alongside of him and just puts his arm on him. And you know what? He made it. He could have passed out and laid there, and we could have all just stepped on him and kept going and be like, yeah, I made it. But that's not what it was about. It was about we as a unit, we had to make it together. We are members in particular. We are the body of Christ. You may feel weak at one given moment, but God says, no, tomorrow you might be the strong one. Who knows? God has a plan. Verse 20, I'm going to start there again. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God, here we go again. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I'm on the drive here. All right, and my phone goes ding. Michelle DiMatteo just email, texted, mass texted on the prayer chain. And my wife looks, I'm like, what's it say? And my wife reads, you know, Tom Rivers is going in for brain surgery tomorrow, good friend of the Hewletts. So usually on the car ride here, my family, about 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it takes of the car ride, we stop and we pray and we have each kid do like two or three prayers, whatever it is. And you know what? We just lift up, all right, Lord, Tom Rivers tomorrow. You know what? Those little things, every part, that one little text that my phone, ding, on the car ride here. Now I know what's going on inside of the body. I know the Hewlett's heart is hurting today because their dear friend is going in for surgery tomorrow. You know what? Those things, they are so important to God. They are so important to the body of Christ. And verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ, members individually, members in particular. You are so important in the body. Romans 12, 4 and 5 reads as this, and I'm just going to go fast here. It says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, right? We don't all have the same function. We need ushers and greeters. We need Sunday school teachers. Marcy needs help in the kitchen. We need people, we need bodies to want to be helpers in the kitchen. We need each other. And every part, every portion in the body is so important. We don't all have the same function, but we are all part of the same body. Right here, right now, Greater Grace Malta. Universally, the church as a whole, from the beginning to the end of time, corporately, the church that is in existence today on the earth doing the work of God. I have friends who are in underground churches in China preaching, and they have 200-300 people coming now. That's awesome. But it's kind of insane, but it's awesome. They're an important body. But here we are, Greater Grace Malta. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We can go to the slide 5. And it's just kind of simply put, kind of funny. The church is one body. And here he says 1 Corinthians 12:12 and Romans 12:5. And I'm just going to go around the circle very quickly. The feet, those who lead the way. Where do you fit in the body? What part are you? I want to encourage you, if you haven't found a place to be plugged into the body, I want to encourage you, pray about it, think about it, come sit with me, let's go out and have dinner, and let's talk about where do you want to be plugged in. Those who heal and show mercy, the hands, those who hear God's voice and obey, the ears, those who see the needs of others, the eyes, those who know the mind of God and have wisdom. I think it's pointing to the bald spot on it right there, but we'll say the brain. Those who speak and teach God's words, right? Pastor Moore, every Sunday morning and Wednesday nights and on radio and doing state Bible studies and in the nursing homes. And many, many more of you, us. Those who do God's will, the hands. Those who lift others up. We know that Old Testament story, right? Lifting up the hands. The knees, those who carry the burdens of others. Sometimes you may need a little extra help. See Pastor Chris Halloran. Those who go where God leads, shows the other foot. Every one of us have an important role in the body of Christ. We have a thing we started years ago where we have this org chart, and every elder has people in the church, and then every elder has different ministries he's over, and then every ministries have heads. And it's just amazing. It really gave me like this vision of where people fit and where people are plugged in and where people are helping and where people are serving. You want to see a copy of it? I think it's right here. It's a little outdated. We did it about a year and a half ago. Some things every year you're going to have changes, but it's close. It's pretty close. But you can see, like, where do you fit in the greater picture, the body of Christ? Slide 6 there. I'm going to burn here fast. Church is not an organization you join. It is a family where you belong, a home where you are loved, and a hospital where you find healing. We had a church in Africa, And he was in this city, and the churches that came before him were very, very hardcore, legalistic, works-based mentality. You can lose your salvation. You had to do all these crazy things. And he put this huge sign on the front of his church. It's like, we love and accept everyone. And all these churches were like, you can't put that on the front of your church. He was like, absolutely, I'm going to put that on the front of the church. If I'm sick, I'm going to go to the hospital. You know what? If I need Jesus, I'm going to go to the church. If somebody has an addiction, they should find their place in the church, and they should find their place in Celebrate Recovery, because it's places they need to be healed, to be helped, to be hurts, habits, and hangups. We need each other. We need each other. Church is not an organization. We used to say in Baltimore, church is an organism. It is this amazing living entity where we are part of Christ and he is part of us and we are part of each other, and it all coexists, and there is unity, but there is diversity, but it is one body, which is the body of Christ. It is not an organization you join. It's a family where you belong, a home where you are loved, and a hospital where you find healing. Let's go to the last one. I'm skipping some here. So if you want more notes, I got a ton here, but I want to end early. So I asked Sarah, hey, do me a favor. Go on my phone, your phone, Bob's phone. I like this little picture. See these two eyeballs? That's Bob at Nature of the Name concert. Love that. Auntie Ellen, are you still right there, Auntie Ellen? Auntie Ellen did this one here. She came in at Easter and did this special Passover feast with our Sunday school kids. And we had, I don't know, Auntie Ellen, we were praying like 16 kids, no, 20 kids. What was it, like 24 kids showed up Easter Sunday, and Auntie Ellen's in there, and she's doing the Passover feast. You know what? Every person, we may be different, but we are one body, Greater Grace Malta. God has a plan for you. You are a member in particular. If you don't know where to plug in, ask me. Ask your elder. Let us help you. Let us encourage you. Let us find a place for you to be plugged in. Many picks of our church body, but so many different areas here. Pastor Moore preaching, Olivia in the Sunday school. She has such an amazing, sweet story. Pastor Handel and Mark and Dennis on the streets preaching. Potluck Sundays, men's breakfast, praying over Chris Rice as he becomes an elder in our church. You don't see you, Emily, but you're right here hiking in the Adirondacks with a million little kids. The Sunday school plays these crazy games. Bonfires in people's backyards for Bible studies. I think that's Pastor Dennis when he was home, and they did a Bible study in Dennis's backyard and had a fire. Our worship team doing concerts as Nature of the Name out in Shepherd's Park, and we hit Auntie Ellen, and then Pastor just praying. Prayer is amazing. You have an important part in this body of Christ. I could not say that enough today. You are a member in particular. You are an important part of the body of Christ. I'm just going to read this little list. We're going to do one verse, and we're going to close. So I've been thinking about this for about a week, and I was thinking, all right, what are different areas that I could make mention? And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to make mention of kitchen ministry and Marcy. Marcy just took over kitchen ministry. She needs some helpers. Mark just took over cleaning, you know, and he needs some help in cleaning teams, whatever it is. But as I got writing it down, I was like, holy cow, our church has so much going on and so many things. So I just made this list. We have in-reach and outreach. We're knocking on doors. We're on the streets in Troy and Saratoga. We do it here in these little plazas some Sundays after church. We have ushers and greeters and counters and cleaners. We have administrators, elders, and deacons. We have our pastors. We have missions. We have our men's ministry, our women's ministry, our Celebrate Recovery ministry. We have our building and work days. You want to come help out in a work day? You don't know what you're doing? We can find something for you to do. We have a ton to do. Gil and I got together yesterday. We had a work day, and we made a list for September, all the things we want to get accomplished here. You look around, you don't think, but there is so many little things we just can't think of. family fun days, our music ministry, our prayer ministry, our Bible college, our kitchen ministry, evangelism, 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 souls, souls, souls. I'll say that one a million times. Our nursing home ministries. We have a few of those going on right now. Our Sunday school, our youths on Wednesdays, our teens, our young adults. You know what? You are an important part of the body of Christ. You know what? God has a plan for you. You are a member in particular. You know what? Find a place and plug in. If you got questions, ask the elders. Ask Donna. She'll point you to the right person if you're unsure. Ask. Because God has an important part for you in the body of Christ. You are a member in particular. You are an important part of the body. And we start it, and I like to start and end with one verse. Sarah, go back to the very first slide. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are members individually. You are members in particular. We can say there is unity and diversity in one body. You are the body of Christ, and you are a member in particular. Father, praise you and thank you for this church. Hallelujah. Greater Grace Malta. We pray for our senior pastor, David Moore, and his traveling, and the elders and wisdom. We pray for this body and the various areas and desires and hopes and needs of the church. And Father, thank you that you made us members of the body of Christ. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. If you're not sure where you fit in, I want to encourage you, ask God. God, where would you have me to serve? Where would you have me to plug in? And furthermore, if you've never asked Christ into your life, if you're still on the other side of that red cross diagram and you're out there and you may feel a little lost, it's a simple prayer of faith between you and Christ. And let us know, because we want to encourage you. We want to strengthen you. But ask him, say, Jesus, come into my life and live by your Holy Spirit. I want to be a child of God. Jesus, come into my life and live. Make me a child of God. If you prayed that for the first time, you're sitting here with our eyes closed, our heads bowed. If you want to just raise your hand, I would love to know. If you're listening on radio or whatever, you can contact. Reach out to us so we can reach back, so we can give you a scripture. Put it in your hands. Father, thank you for each person here, members in particular. Bless this message, our potluck Sunday, hallelujah, for food and all that follows this day. In Christ's name, amen. Announcements.